Recording is on.
Okay, good afternoon, everybody. We have Paul David Thompson in the house. He's our speaker for today, and we have invited him to talk to us about how to unlock your IRA. So how you doing, Paul?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
That's awesome. Well, I'm happy that you're here, and I want to ask you, I know that you're a real estate investor and you're also a financial consultant, but what else do you do?
Professionally, what else do I do?
Yes.
I invest in real estate. I live in Little Rock, Arkansas, and I have a portfolio here in Central Arkansas. Plus, I'm a developer, and I have a project in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where I'm building about 200 units from ground up.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Well, you know, now our audience is more connected to you, so they know exactly what you do. And so you not only talk, but you also do the things that you say, right?
That's right. Yes, I am an investor in that. I would like to help people avoid some of the mistakes that I made as an investor and get kind of get better returns out of your time and energy and money than sitting around, not making the best use of those resources.
Right, exactly. So now, can you introduce your company and also how the people that are going to listen to this podcast webinar can interact with you, and where can they call you, and can mm-hmm. you provide that?
Sure. So the name of my company is my name, Paul David Thompson. So I have a real estate consulting business. I'm not necessarily a financial advisor so much as I am a business coach. And so what I help is I help real estate professionals scale their business so that they can take more control over their time, so they don't have to work a 9-to-5 unless they particularly like that job.
Right, exactly. Okay. Well, that's the reason why we invited you today to talk to us about the retirement accounts. And so I think you will provide value information because like myself and a real estate agent as well. And many times I have, first home time buyers that are looking to buy a house, but you know, they don't know how to come up with a down payment. And I sometimes introduce the knowledge and say, well, did you know that you could use your IRA or your 401k or your 403b to be able to get some money from there to put as a down payment? And sometimes they are reluctant to do so because they think it's illegal. What is your take mm-hmm. on that?
Yeah, so the government set up these retirement accounts, and I'll kind of generically refer to them as retirement accounts. And this is your individual retirement account, your 403b, 401k, depending on what kind of TSP, depending on what kind of job you have, whether it's a government or a corporate or private. These are basically gifts from the U.S. government that allows you to invest for your long-term retirement, but they've given some exceptions in there that allow you to tap into these for specific type of situations. And that is specifically things that you would want to confirm with a financial advisor or a CPA. That's not what we're offering right here. We're just giving you the idea that, that's an option. I didn't even know about it. And unless you know to ask, sometimes people won't tell you.
Right.
And so yeah, if you are thinking about doing certain types of investments, or you are looking to buy your personal residence, it is completely viable to take a portion of your 401k and use it as a down payment to purchase your house. And with housing prices the way they are right now, and with interest rates the way they are now, you might need that help in order to get into a house.
Right, exactly. So that's a good topic right there. So yes, and we also want to disclose that, you know, our company, BlancaProfessionalService.com, as well as your company, we want to disclaim that everything that we do here and all the knowledge that you gain is for educational purposes, and then to inspire you to go and ask your questions to your financial advisor or to your CPA or to somebody that is on your team, legal team or advisory team. So always run things through them. And so just take all the information that you hear here and maybe try to apply it and see if that works for you or not, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I can't stress that enough, that those disclaimers are not just kind of something we just put out there because we're supposed to. It's we really mean it. Like, take information in from a variety of sources, and then go to somebody who you are paying to give you a specific set of advice based on your current situation as somebody who is property licensed. And that's not what we're doing right here. We're just talking about concepts that otherwise you may not hear about if you're not actively looking for or asking these questions.
Right, exactly. So I know you put together a presentation for us, so I wanted to, I know that you want to share your screen and then start on what we're going to talk about. And so the topic of today's podcast and webinar is how to unlock your IRA. So so Paul is going to show us, and go ahead and take control.
Okay.
Cool.
So I'm showing it sharing. Do you see it sharing?
Monica? Yeah, I see it. Now I can see it on my screen. Yes.
Okay, perfect. So to quickly explain what we're going to talk about today is this idea of using these retirement accounts. And I'll use the term IRA pretty much throughout, but a lot of the concepts I'm talking about apply to a variety of tax advantage accounts. So what I'm really talking about is IRAs, 401ks, HSA accounts. And these are accounts that a lot of people don't make the most use of, and I'm going to talk about how we can first contribute to these accounts, and then how we can get the best, give you the chance at the best return in these particular types of accounts.
Okay.
So what we'll do real quickly is just run through kind of what your different types of accounts are and the different types of investments that you can do, and there's more available to you than a lot of people are aware.
Okay.
So, typical disclaimer, like I'm not giving professional advice right here, and nor is this a solicitation to sell a security. This is just for educational purposes, for you to get inspired to go do something different that you may not have otherwise heard after talking to your professionals. So, when I talk about these accounts, I'm referring to IRAs, HSA, or 401ks, and this could be a former employee's 403b, TSP, 401k equivalent type account. SEP IRA also applies here. And these are these accounts, we typically think of these as accounts that we can invest in the public stock market, which is completely true, and fine if you want to. But there's also another option out there that a lot of people aren't aware of, and that you can self-direct these accounts. And what you do is you work with a particular type of provider that makes this possible. So we all think of these accounts being in big qualified names like Charles Schwab, Vanguard, Fidelity, Merrill Lynch, T. Rowe Price. These are all reputable, viable companies. But they give you a limited set of options. Of public market stocks, bonds, these sort of things, ETFs, index funds.
Right.
If you want to invest in things like real estate or notes or other types of asset classes, the IRS code allows you to do so as well. In fact, the IRS code simply says you cannot invest in life insurance or collectibles or shares of S-Corps. Everything else is fair game, provided you follow the rules.
No.
So that's what we'll be kind of discovering here tonight.
Yes, that's so awesome. Yeah, you know, that's a very good topic that you're sharing, because not too many people are aware of those.
It's a bit of an advanced topic, right?
Yes.
And so I'll cover these rules very quickly, because it can be kind of technical, but just kind of give everybody a taste of what is out there. So first of all, what I'm talking about here is knowing the rules. And that's what we'll talk about here for next couple minutes. And then there are some specific techniques that we can do. And then any sort of deal that you're doing, and when I say deals, I'm talking about typically real estate related or business transactions where you're buying a business. This is not buying a share of a business of a public company. This is like, I'm going to buy a laundromat or something like that. So what you need is access to these deals. You need access to capital, which is typically what you're using your 401k or IRA for. Okay. And then you need a network of people to help you actually pull this off. So these are the kind of things we'll be kind of covering at a high level in the next few minutes.
Okay.
So knowing the rules. So we need to understand what contributions are. We need to understand what self-direction is. And then there are a couple of rules, additional rules you want to be aware of when you're investing in alternative investments in these accounts. And that's prohibited transactions and disqualified persons. So contributions, and this is something I think you cover a lot in your business, is what accounts are you eligible for and which ones can you contribute to? And so most everybody who has any sort of earned income who's a U.S. citizen can contribute to a Roth IRA. It's one of the best accounts we have access to because it's, you know, it's tax advantaged in that it's the money you put in isn't tax-free, but the gains on it are tax-free.
Okay.
And so this is typically one of my favorite accounts.
Yeah, me too.
yeah. The next, but one of the challenges is you only put, in the current year, if you're under 50, you can only put $6,500 in there, right?
Yes.
So you're capped. Whereas with the HSA, which is per family, if you have a qualified deductible on your insurance policy, your health insurance policy, then you are eligible for an HSA. And if you're not already doing this, I would invite you to consider and look up what it would cost you to have a HSA eligible health insurance plan.
Right.
If you do so, you are eligible to contribute per family per year up to $7,750. And this is probably the best account we have access to because it's triple tax advantaged. The money that goes in is tax free, the money that grows is tax free, and the money we pull out is tax-free, provided that it's qualified medical expenses. And what a lot of people don't realize is you can, this is not a use or lose it type account like an FSA, a flexible spending account. This is a health savings account. In this account, you can put $7,000 or a little over per year into that, and you then can invest it just like you would a Roth IRA. And you can do these self-directed transactions, or you can invest it in the public stock market, however you wish. And that can grow for the next 10, 20 years. And then, if you wish, you can pay your medical expenses that happened 20 years in the past.
Wow.
But you have to start your HSA to be eligible. So you can't pay for expenses in years prior to having your first HSA account. So the message here is go get an HSA. If you hear nothing about this account, about this today, anything else, is go find out if you're eligible for HSA and get one started this year.
That's nice. I do have that help. You know, I provide those services if anybody is interested.
There you go. Perfect. I didn't even know that, so it's a good cue. The other account that a lot of people really don't understand is a solo 401k. So if you have a job where you are earning a salary and you have a 401k or 403b or TSP, you have this account that you can go, but you are eligible to have another 401k if you have any sort of earned income on a side hustle. So if you have an Etsy store or you have a real estate business on the side, if you're an agent on the side, if you have any sort of earned income, you are eligible for having a solo 401k provided that you and your spouse are your only employees. So, and if you make enough money, you can contribute up to $66,000 into that account. Now, that provides that you are making quite a bit of money and you're in this company first.
Right.
But it's just something to be aware of, that it's out there. A lot of people don't know about it.
Wow.
So basically, you can just like you have your own company, and you can create a 401k plan for you and your employees, which just so happens to be you.
Right.
So you're the business owner, you're the employee, and you're the plan sponsor, right?
Yes.
And so this is the solo 401k concept. The solo 401k is one of the most powerful tools for self-direction that we have access to. And lastly, Coverdell. It's only $2,000, but you can self-direct it. And it's per child, and these can be transferred to other members of your family later if you end up not having the educational expenses for this one child. So if you're under 50, a family of four, a married couple, family of four, has the potential to contribute to up to $156,000 of tax-advantaged money per year. And And with that, you can do some very interesting projects. Okay, so I've touched on this already, but self-direction is, just very quickly, it is an option that allows you to invest in alternative investments, and you need a special type of custodian that allows this. And these are typically boutique custodians like Quest Trust Company, Equity Trust, Advanta, and there's 30 or 40 others to choose from. And these are smaller companies. They're not like the big names like Charles Schwab or T. Rowe Price, et cetera. These are small companies that specifically specialize in allowing you to invest in real estate or notes or buying private companies through these retirement accounts.
That's pretty awesome.
Yep. One little detail to know about that is a lot of it's like Fidelity or Vanguard or whatever, because they're a very low cost. You know, the index funds are very low fee. Mm-hmm. You have a lot of those same options with inside of these self-directed custodians, but the right to self-direct your account does have fees associated with it, and so you want to know what those fees are going into it. You're going to spend a little money in an order of several hundred dollars per year to have the right to self-direct your account, because they're not making money off of any sort of transaction fees. They're making money only on having the account open in their name.
Right. Okay. That's awesome.
Yep. And so a couple things to be aware of when you do self-direction, and this is when you are investing in a rental property, for example, mm-hmm. you cannot buy a property that you used to own in your LLC and then buy it with your IRA or solo 401k. That would be considered a prohibited transaction, because you can only be getting a direct benefit from the investment itself. You can't buy an Airbnb inside your IRA, then go and stay in that Airbnb. That would be an indirect benefit to you.
Okay.
So that's another thing that you want to be aware of with these rules. And the other one is a disqualified person. You and your spouse and you and your spouse's lineal ascendants and descendants are not people you can do transactions with. So me and Blanca are not business partners. We're just friends.
Okay.
And we can do a deal together inside of our IRAs. But I cannot do that with my wife because I'm related to her.
Right.
So these are rules that you want to be aware of. This is a disqualified person. These are very, very important details to be aware of. And every time I share this with somebody, somebody always starts asking questions about, well, what if I did this? What if I did this to try and work their way around the rules? This is not an area where you want to work around the rules.
That's right.
Avoid the gray area. Make it obvious that you are not doing a prohibited transaction, disqualified person. The IRS does not like it when you do this sort of thing, and they are specifically auditing self-directed IRAs for this reason, because people are abusing it. And if you get caught, it's not good for your IRA. So just don't do it, because it's so easy to do it right.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Plus,
go ahead.
Plus, besides the fine that you're going to get and all the legal stuff that you're going to have to confront, it's just a nightmare and it's not worth it.
It simply isn't worth it. The marginal gain that you would get from doing a deal with your wife or something just isn't worth it. Do a deal with somebody who isn't disqualified. It's just too easy to do it right.
Right.
So speaking of the techniques, this is where, if you're not already familiar with this, you might be a little confused. So with your IRA, you can direct your IRA custodian to invest in real property. So this is like rental properties or an Airbnb. You can buy notes, you can lend money to other people. So in my business, I buy and sell rental properties in my LLC a lot of the times. And I do the Burr method, where I buy and refi the property. A lot of times I buy the property using another person's IRA, and their IRA lends me, say, $100,000, and I borrow that money at 8, 9, 10% interest. And then when I get through with my rehab, I refinance, pay them off, and they get an 8 to 10% return on their money. They're a private lender to me. So that's an example of a note that you can do inside of your IRA.
Okay. Now, can I ask you a quick question? Is the private lender is the same as the base asset lender, or is there a difference?
So there are these things called asset lenders, and they are typically companies, and they are bank-like entities that are looking at a rental property, and they are a company that has underwriters, and they have shareholders that they have to report to. Whereas a private lender is usually just a private individual that happens to have an IRA and has the sophistication to hire an attorney to draft up a promissory note and mortgage to do a loan.
No, okay.
So it tends to be based on a personal relationship.
Right.
And the lender has just done the homework to know how to be the lender. They typically are not running a business of, let's say, like they're not a hard money lender or an asset-based lender inside of their IRA. Now, if I have I'm a hard money lender by practice as well, and I have a company that does that,
mm-hmm.
And I can run those kind of transactions, but then I also have a solo 401k that can do loans to you or one of your clients.
Okay.
But I'm doing that as a private individual through my IRA, and I'm typically not being very sophisticated or fancy with that. I'm keeping it very simple inside my IRA.
Okay, got it.
Is that helpful?
Yes.
Okay, and then you can also buy things like trusts. You can buy private companies. You can buy like syndications. You can invest in syndications through your IRA. You can invest in funds through your IRA. And this is the private placement agreements are typically the documents required to set that up.
Hmm.
So you can get fairly complicated inside of these, but if you're just getting started, I would not advise or recommend anybody doing that unless you've really, really done your homework. Keep it simple at first.
Right.
Learn how to buy a property. Learn how to do a note inside your IRA and see if it makes sense for you.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so I've kind of covered this already, but real estate could be rental property. It could be single family. It could be land. It's very common for people to buy land inside their IRA because there's not a lot of work involved with an IRA or a land deal. So you just buy a piece of land, sit on it for a few years, and then sell it several years later for profit.
Right.
That's a very common transaction inside someone's IRA or 401k. Notes, I just described what that was. You can also buy trusts, a land trust or a personal property trust, or you can invest in hedge funds or syndications like I mentioned a second ago.
Okay. And when you're saying buy, you don't need anything else. You don't need some kind of professional license or anything like that, right?
Good question. You do not need a license to do this in any state that I know of. Basically, this is money inside of your IRA that is with a custodian, and the custodian has processes for giving the direction of investment. Now, you're still using the same procedures that you would to buy a rental property. You're still doing your analysis, you're still doing your due diligence, you're still hiring a attorney to do the title search, a title company is still being involved in the title insurance. All the normal things that you would do to secure a investment with your business or personal name,
right.
You would do with your IRA as well.
Okay.
It's just the source of funds is coming from a different account.
Right. So now, can I ask you, because for example, do you necessarily have to ask for a check? I mean, I done that before, and I have asked for a check directly from my IRA account, right?
Yeah.
And so for, let's say, if I'm buying a house, per se, and I need a down payment for $10,000, so I'll request about $15,000 for closing costs and all that, and then they'll send me a check. But they can be, just sent directly to escrow. Can somebody say, sometimes people ask these questions like, okay, well, I'll get the check, but I want the check to be on my name, then deposit it to my account, and then give another check to the escrow. Can that be done?
Good question. It shouldn't be done.
Right.
Could it be done? Potentially. Should you? Absolutely not. It's a mm-hmm. really good question, Laka.
Okay,
so, cool. The whole point of this is that you personally are not touching the money. You're not involved. Your IRA is the one that's directing the money. So that is actually a good segue here, Blanca, to the process. So this is how you deploy your capital. So we've discussed basically that you would work with one of these custodians to create or transfer your IRA or solo 401k or 401k over into this 401k.
Yes.
So you have this account inside of, let's say, Quest Trust Company as an example.
Yes.
And so you'll work through their process to fund your account with your contribution or with an existing account or a rollover. And then you do the normal evaluation deals like we talked about. You do your due diligence. Now you decide to invest in a rental property, let's say. And the title company gives you their wiring instructions. Well, you fill out the direction of investment form from the Quest Trust Company, which they will help you figure out how to do that if you're not familiar.
Right.
They're very much will handhold you through the whole process. But you are still ultimately the person in charge. And if you direct them incorrectly, they'll send the money to someplace that's not appropriate if you are sophisticated enough to try and get around their rules.
Right.
So you fill out the direction of investment form. They'll do their best to make sure that you're not doing anything prohibited. And then you wire that money to the escrow company. You do not wire that company to your personal account or to your business entity and then cut a check someplace else. That is absolutely, you are a prohibited person from your IRA. You shouldn't put that money inside your personal or business entity accounts. This is your IRA account, and it needs to go in and fund the actual transaction.
Okay, that makes sense.
Which is the escrow account of the title company.
Right, okay, that makes sense. But now, can I ask another question? Like, it doesn't matter if you're buying the house on their, as in a trust, or just under your name. It's the same process.
So if you're buying the house through your IRA and is funding it, you would never put your personal name on it. You would put your IRA's name on it. So your purchase and sale agreement would say Paul Thompson IRA Quest Trust Company, right?
Okay.
It would not say Paul Thompson's buying this property. It's saying, you can also do it in a trust. You can say the 123 Main Street Trust is buying this property, and the beneficiary of that trust is your Quest Roth IRA, for example.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep, mm-hmm. Good questions. So let's just kind of run through an actual use case. We only have like one or two slides here left, so our time looks like it's going by pretty well. So, case study number one. So this is a property that I own personally in one, well, that's not true. My IRA owns in Little Rock, Arkansas. And so it is a single family rental that I purchased through my IRA for $36,000. And depending on where you are, you might think that those kind of properties don't exist. In the Midwest and the Southeast, these type of properties do exist. This was a few years ago. The property's worth a little more now, but it needs some work, but I was able to buy it for $36,000. And somebody lived. Yeah, it's hard to believe that. if you live in the West Coast or something, you're just like, that's not possible. I can't even buy a door for that much.
That's true. Well, especially now, everything is so crazy. You know, I went to check on a car lot, just, you know, wondering about a truck, and it cost almost $100K. I was like, wow.
Yep. A lot of cars right now would cost more than $36,000.
Yeah.
But this is a house that in many parts of the Southeast and Midwest that you can absolutely buy for under $70,000. In this case, the property was needed some work, but it had a tenant in there that was currently making or paying $600 a month. And so we bought it. Me and a buddy of mine, our IRAs partnered, and we put this thing under contract for $36,000 inside of our IRAs. We have a property manager, and this happens to be in my hometown of Little Rock, Arkansas, but I have yet to see it. I would have to put in the address in my maps, or my Google Maps, in order to actually know, find out where this is. I have intentionally not gone by this house because I don't want to ever pretend like I've done anything, any kind of work on this property. Because if I go in there and someone's just screwing a light bulb, I'm creating a prohibited transaction. I cannot provide any sort of services to this other than like accounting or making a decision. I can't. I have to hire a property manager to do all that kind of work.
Okay, got it.
Yes, very important distinction. Like, you do not want to buy a rental property and go over there with your tool belt. That's not the way this works. Inside your IRA. IRA needs to just be the funder of the transaction, and that is it.
Okay,
so and this is a screenshot that I took just a couple of weeks ago from when I first did this presentation, and our account now has almost $16,000 of cash sitting in there because we have no debt on this property. We bought it completely with cash from our IRAs, and we're getting a 17.5% cash or cash return, and the current tenant is the same tenant that we had when we bought it, is paying $750 a month for a 3-bedroom, 1-bath house.
Wow.
in the Deep South. And that is not that unusual of a deal in many parts of the South.
Wow, that's, you know, they don't have rents around here for that price.
Yeah, that would be the cost of your insurance for 1 month, right, in California?
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to move over there. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, the cost of living in this part of the country is quite a bit lower.
Yes.
And so the assets that you can buy are easier to do as well, because it's just like the cost, everything's cheaper, right?
Right.
So it makes a little more sense to do these kind of deals with your IRA. And it's just easier to find cash flow when you're buying these kind of things.
Right.
Okay. So let's talk about a bigger deal. Okay. So this is another deal that I'm working in Dallas, Texas. It's about 5 hours from where I am in Little Rock. And so I fly to Dallas every once in a while, and I work on development projects. And this is a development project where we're going to do some townhomes on one side and some apartments on the other. And I bought the land in my business entity, and I got a bank loan for the construction costs, the acquisition of the land and the construction cost. And I needed some extra cash in order to take the deal down. So I think we bought this thing total for like, I don't know, $2 million altogether. and we had a loan for total 1.5, I think it was. And we brought $300K to the table, and we needed another $200K to make the deal happen. So we went to a friend of mine who has money in his IRA, and he lent to me $200K at 12% interest, and his IRA is in second position, and he happens to use Quest Trust Company, who's based out of Houston, where he lives. And so it's very common for people in Texas to use Quest because they're based out of Texas.
That's nice. Well, you know, yep. The good part is that you could put this deal together, even using somebody else's IRA as a you know, for them to lend you the money at a percentage and then create all these kind of deals. That's awesome.
Right. So as an IRA holder, you can get involved in somebody else's deal and just be the money partner. And like over the last couple of years, getting 12% on your money is a pretty good deal.
Oh, yeah.
because the stock market has not been returning much.
No.
In fact, most people are losing money in the stock market. So this is a way to get, this is an option for some people to get consistent interest income through their IRA. And a lot of people just aren't aware they're able to do this.
Right.
And this is why I have these conversations, because once you get your head around this, doing this really isn't that hard. You find somebody who you trust as an operator, and you find a good custodian you like to work with, and you can unlock the potential of your IRA.
Right. So and that it doesn't matter if you're still working on your company, or does it matter?
So good question. For your IRA, you can do this whether you're employed or not. To contribute to your IRA each year, you have to have earned income. But once you've contributed to it, you can do with it whatever you want, provided we've covered you're following with these rules. You don't have to continue to be working to have an IRA invested.
Okay.
Now, for a solo 401k, or I'm sorry, for a 401k from your old employer, or a 403b or a TSP, if you are currently working on a property, or I'm sorry, you're working at a company that has those retirement accounts, most of the time you don't have the option to roll money out of that account while you are currently employed.
Right.
However, if you have an old employer that has an old 401k or an old 401(3b) or an old TSP, and you're now at a different job, or you've gone out on your own and you have your own solo 401k, you can roll your old 401k over to an IRA or to your new solo 401k.
Right, that makes sense, yes. And I'm just letting people know, because I know some people, you know, already have been working for a long time and putting money away, and maybe they're looking into retirement and they don't know what to do with their money, so this could be an option for them. Or, you know, for the newbies, you know, for the new generation that are just starting now, maybe this is a good webinar, you know, with all this kind of information, so they can think about what they can do to put money away, and then later on when they're ready to retire, use that money.
They have options.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're younger or you haven't started these accounts yet, the message is to start these accounts. Start putting money away tax advantaged, and then learn these options. You don't have to do anything with it other than simple investments inside the stock market, an index fund or something. That's kind of the default option, is get the money into these accounts, get it working for you, and then you can investigate these options. If you're older, you have accumulated a fair amount of money inside your these accounts, and you're looking to retire, you're looking to generate income out of them, being a lender outside of your or from your IRA or solo 401k can be a very good option to create a much higher income than you thought you could through traditional stocks and bonds.
Okay, so then you know, and another thing that also, you know, I suggest, and this is a suggestion, is that even if you're still working, let's say you're still a young person, you can open an independent Roth IRA account and just fund it with whatever money you have, you know, and just little by little put some money there, because mm-hmm. that doesn't have to, because that's an independent account that you are putting or stashing money away. It doesn't, you know, it's not... you don't have to be unemployed or something to be able to use the funds there. So
right, exactly. And really, all you need to be have an IRA is have some earned income, right? I mean, even if you have $5,000 of earned income, you qualify for putting that much money into your IRA.
Those are great topics for our audience, and now they can start thinking about different options. And you know, the way I see it, you know, there are so many vehicles in the financial sector, in the financial world, to be your own bank and to be your own potential, you know, to come up with different things together, so you can buy or sell or do whatever you want, maybe start a new business, or but you need to have the tools, you have to have the team on your side, you have to have, you know, the knowledge, because financial education, it starts with financial education, which is now given in schools. And so I think this is the importance of this webinars podcast, that we bring professionals so they can train us and they can say, hey, you know, these are other things that you can do, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's a pretty good bow. You put it on the end of it.
Yeah. So then can you tell people how they can connect with you if they want to learn more about how, you know, they can start doing this and maybe, you know, maybe put together some deals or anything?
Sure. Sure. So I have several types of resources. I'm pretty active on the internet, and my name is Paul David Thompson, and that's pretty much my brand everywhere I am. So on YouTube or Instagram, I'm at Paul David Thompson, and my website is pauldavidthompson.com.
Okay, that's great. So now, you know, some classes that you put together webinars do independently for another invitations like the one I did to you today?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay. And then, you know, the people, if they have more questions, like, I don't know what other question can they have except for the most difficult part is always getting started, you know, either it's in the financial world or in you want to buy a house too, is the same thing, you know. So many times people ask me, oh, you know, I can't do this, I cannot do that. And I said, well, you know, the first thing is you got to get rid of the I can't mentality, you know. It's like, what could I do, or, you know, where can I find the answer, you know? And then if the answer is not favorable, then, you know, at least you know what you need to do, so you can go and do that and then start in the process where you want to go. So I think that's important. And in the 401k, you know, it's not only just trying to use your 401k for deals, but trying to understand how they work so you can be an educated person. And you can use the money also that you're putting away to your own benefit. Because most of the people, you know, and that was me before when I was in the workforce, you know, for many years, I did that. I just stashed the money away, you know, my employer, you know, had that 401k, 403b plan, and I just put money in there, but, you know, I didn't know what was going on with it. I just knew that I received my quarterly, you know, report, and, you know, I wasn't in the financial business at that time. I was still in college and so on and so forth. So then, you know, I wasn't aware of all this that you could do, but imagine if I knew, or I have somebody like you that had all this experience. Imagine what I could have done with all the money.
Yeah, it's a lost opportunity when you get started later. I had the same problem. I worked in the corporate world for 17 years, and it wasn't until 15 years into it I finally branched out and started buying my own rental properties.
Mm-hmm.
And as I started doing that is when I started learning about these more advanced techniques. So fortunately, I had been contributing to my 401k and IRA, but I wish I'd been matching or maximizing them every year. So anybody listening to this, like, time is your friend when it comes to compounding, and you want to contribute as much as you can afford into these retirement accounts and get them deployed and working for you so that you can make money while you sleep.
Exactly. And you know what? Sometimes I have these questions like, okay, well, I don't have the money. And then sometimes I say, well, you know, I would like to provide you a free financial analysis plan just for you. Because what I have encountered, you know, is like I did a couple for other people. And there was one guy, and this is just a short story. I won't reveal the name or anything like that, right? But that's private. But the thing is, he was working two jobs. Trying to make, you know, his family put together food on the table and so on and so forth. But, you know, I asked him, okay, how much money are you saving? And that person said, not much, because, you know, I have this, the bill, the other bill. I have a satellite, Netflix, and I have something else. And I was like, when do you have time to watch Netflix if you have two jobs?
Right.
You know, and I said, how much money are you paying there? And he said, oh, like about 150. And then he said, I have two or three phones, you know, sharing. And I said, why don't you get a prepaid phone for $40? You know, you'll still get to call and you still get internet access and you still get to text people, you know, I mean, for $40. And what, how much are you spending now? And he told me it's like about 200 or 250 every month. I was like, what? Wow, imagine 250 plus 150 from Netflix is like almost $500. I said, well, imagine what that could do $500 every month if you save it in an account where, you know, it's gonna provide you more money. Than what is the only thing that you are getting from Netflix is just watching TV and wasting your time, because you know, that's the only benefit. But other than that, I don't see how that is gonna put you or move you forward in your life, you know. And so I think that's important that we touch on those topics, because sometimes people say, oh, I don't have the money. But once we start looking, we start finding things that they don't even realize they are paying, or that they do realize that they're paying, but maybe they're not as necessary, you know. And maybe that money can be redirected to something like this, put away in a Hill Mansion account or a Roth IRA or something else, right?
A few dollars started early, contributed over time, compounded over 30 years. You can retire a multimillionaire. There's multiple examples of people who worked blue-collar jobs, saved modest amounts of money, and put them away into non-tax-favored accounts and grew them to millions of dollars at the end of their life. And so it's possible, but we lose the... As humans, we just aren't very good at thinking about the compound effect and what our decisions, those little tiny decisions we make every day, how they compound over time. And they can compound for you or against you. Spending $5 on Starbucks every day or spending $5 every day to put into your IRA, the financial difference in your life by just making that one change, the latte effect it's called, can be pretty significant.
Right, exactly. And you know, it's never too late to start, even if you're not still considered young like me. You know, I'm not too young, even though I look that young. But you know what? The thing is that to me, it doesn't matter when you start. It's just a start. Start at some point, but, you know, try to gather the information and ask questions. And you know, for me, is you never have... people sometimes, they're concerned about asking questions. And I said, you know, the more you ask, the more you're going to know. And there is no question that is... silly or anything like that, you know, because everybody has their own pace and their own understanding, and you know, we think differently, and we ask things differently. So there is not one question fits all, because maybe, you know, your needs are different from mine. So I had my own specific questions, and that doesn't necessarily mean, you know, my question is less in value than your question, right?
That's right. I totally agree.
Yeah. So that's you know, the importance of this conversation. So that's the reason why I came in and say, well, what would be a nice topic to share with our audience, you know? And and so I am glad that you came in and you helped us, and that you told us about all these different tools that we can use to better our lives. So if anybody out there is listening and is going to watch this webinar later on, once we post it on social media, I want you to know that Paul David is a real estate investor, a lender, a consultant, and he can help you also to get your Roth IRA. If you don't have, you know, understanding how it works, you can contact him and he'll be more than happy to help you, right?
That's right. Thank you so much for the time and the opportunity, Blanca.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul, and we'll talk next time. Is there a phone number they can call you, Paul?
Sure. 501-831-6919.
Okay. And then you can also go to his website, pauldavidthompson.com. If you're interested in connecting with him, okay? So I appreciate everybody's time and appreciate Paul. And hopefully this is not just the first time that we'll have you on the house. And we'll get together again soon.
Thanks so much.
All right, and thank you so much for sharing with us.
You bet, bye-bye.
Okay.
Excellent, thanks for having me.